Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, so Ben said in the last segment he hasn't encountered too many people who are creating hoaxes, except for those who put up UFO photos on YouTube.
There's a lot of
them. There are a few of those. You see, this is part of it also. The difficulty of taking a smartphone and getting a photograph of any distant moving object, even an airplane.
Sure, yeah, no, I was just saying that, you know, my approach is diplomacy. My approach is genuinely trying to solve the mystery. If I talk to somebody who has some experience, I'm trying to figure out what was that experience. I'm not going in there saying, well, you're clearly wrong, or you're crazy or else. I'm saying, I don't know, I wasn't there. Do you have any corroborating evidence? Was there anyone else there? Do you have any surveillance camera footage or photos? Give me something else to help me understand and put together the context. Oftentimes, I've found that people are responsive to that. When they recognize that, yes, I am a skeptic, and yes, I am trying to bring empiricism and science to it, but no, I'm not being dismissive, I'm not being snarky, I'm taking time out of my day and my time to figure this out, and I say, look, help me understand what this is, and then I will, you know, listen to them and try to piece together all the information I can, and based on that, I'll say, okay, well, in my experience and my research, these are probably the most likely explanations, maybe two, maybe three, who knows. If one of them is that someone genuinely saw an extraterrestrial craft over their house, great. That's awesome. I want to be the one to figure that out. If the answer truly is that we can eliminate all the other alternative explanations and there really is some sort of evil or malignant inexplicable force in someone's attic or someone's log cabin or something, if these things are real, that's great. That is important. That is interesting and relevant, and we need to bring science to it. But unfortunately, in most of the cases that I've seen, not unfortunately, but there are alternative explanations that are, when we employ Occam's razor and the principle of examining these things in the most likely explanation, oftentimes you find likelier explanations than the paranormal one.
Oh, yeah, sure. No argument there. We should get into some of those actual cases, too, not just the sort of theory and conceptual stuff. But I do think it's important to cover these ideas to sort of give our listeners an understanding of where you're coming from and where we're coming from as well, because here at the Paracast, we don't like to think of skeptics as being the enemy. We'd like to get past this whole us versus them attitude and find a way to work together with these common principles to find out what really is going on. And we'd like to do it in a way that doesn't offend people, because we really do believe that people are having genuine experiences out there.
I agree. No, I absolutely agree. And that's one of the reasons I love, I think I've been on your show two or three times now, and I love coming back, and I love the format you guys and the approach that you guys take. And I could not agree more. And I don't even really like to use the phrase of skeptics and believers, because it paints a broad brush, but I'll just use that just for simplicity. But I think the skeptics and believers have much more in common than they often realize. I think they sort of get nailed down in these sorts of person to person and, you know, sort of yelling matches. Whereas, in fact, certainly in my case, I can't speak for other skeptics, but in my case, I genuinely want to know. Again, if the answer is there really is these mysterious unknown things, great. That is awesome. Let's all work together and pool our resources and help to weed out the bad information, whether that's mistakes, whether that's frauds or hoaxes, whatever it is, let's all unify and try to make progress on this instead of all this sort of infighting and calling each other names, and maybe we can at least, you know, work out the basics.
One thing that bothered me, going back to the naval UFOs, is if there's such an easy explanation, whatever they are, distant aircraft, drones, whatever, why not just say it rather than drop it open in the air there and leave it to people to suggest, hey, the Navy's admitting we have an unknown phenomenon at work here?
That's a fair question. There's a couple of things here. First of all, it's important to realize that the Navy themselves never claimed these were inexplicable. nobody ever said that. No, if you go back and you look at it, the Navy never said these videos are unexplainable. We have no idea what they are and anything else. What happened was they were leaked. The videos were leaked again in 2007, I think 2014. And so they were already in the public domain. People were already talking about it. The most recent news was just that they said, yes, this really is, as most people already knew, an actual legitimate video. And again, on their surface, they're not that dramatic. They're kind of mundane. They're not anything that anybody would just say, oh my God, that can't be anything but, you know, an extraterrestrial craft. So it's important to keep in mind that the Navy itself never said that these are beyond science. They never said that they put their best minds to work on this. All they said was that at the time the videos were recorded, under the conditions that they were cited, and again, they're different conditions, they're three different videos, different pilots, and so on, that the pilots didn't know what they were at the time. That does not logically mean that with hindsight and going back and triangulating other aircraft records and whatever else, that the Navy or anybody else, including Mick West at Metabunk, can't put forth an entirely plausible explanation.
Right. I guess it all depends on how you frame it, because you'll talk to people who look at just the radar data, where these objects, according to the radar, are at a very high altitude, move very rapidly towards the surface, and then come to an almost dead stop in a very short period of time that they say should be impossible for any kind of aerodynamic craft that we've created. Okay, well, that's sort of a conclusion on their part. That's not necessarily something that the Air Force or the Navy has officially claimed. They'll just say, well, if they're unidentified, they're UAPs, they're unidentified aerial phenomena. Maybe they're a threat to our security. We're not sure. And that was the aim of the program that came out that revealed what was going on. So they were looking at this as perhaps some sort of way to identify what could very well be technology from other nations, not necessarily something alien at all.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. But again, I just want to be clear. It's not as if the Navy had released these to the public saying, you know, the world's best minds are stumped. They never said anything like that. All they said was, you know, those videos that have been circulating for, in some cases, you know, 10 years or longer, those are real videos. They're not faked. It was sort of a nothing burger on that end. And again, just because the pilots under those conditions at that distance and speed and other things going on, just because they couldn't identify what it was, that doesn't mean anything. It just means that they couldn't tell what they were. And, you know.
Well, I think it's safe to say that it was an extraordinary experience, certainly something out of the ordinary. But to go from there to jump to they came from Zeta Reticuli, that's another matter.
I guess it sort of depends on what you mean by an extraordinary experience. I mean, again, if you watch the videos just prima facie, they're not that impressive. My point is that it's not like if they had seen something that was self-evidently extraterrestrial, out of this world, just so mind-blowingly amazing, I can guarantee we would have heard about it before now. You know, these are weird things that, and keep in mind, of course, that these are just three videos that have surfaced in U.S. Navy footage. So we're looking at a tiny, tiny percent, right? I mean, there must be, I'm guessing, tens of thousands of hours. I mean, clearly these were designated and noticed as being especially strange or unusual, whatever else. You know, again, this is a half a percent of all the stuff that's out there. And even that, as we all agree, it's not that impressive.
Yeah, the videos to me were almost desensationalizing the whole thing. When you look at the other information, like I say, the radar reports and the testimony from the pilots, and we're talking about accomplished pilots. We're talking about that they're team leaders off an aircraft carrier, and they don't tend to just scramble jets off an aircraft carrier for no reason. I mean, something was going on. This particular pilot, now retired, says he's never seen anything like it in his entire history of his career with the military. I think that counts as an extraordinary experience, personally.
Humans are humans. The fact that a given person goes into a career as an Air Force pilot, for the Navy or anybody else, or a commercial pilot, does not automatically give them superhuman perception. Yes, it's true that on average, probably Navy pilots and other pilots, military pilots, are more likely to identify something in the sky than you or I would, or a truck driver or an accountant.
Gene, Randall, Ben, you're in the Paracast.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're continuing with Ben Radford and Gene Steinberg and J. Randall Murphy. We interrupted you, Ben. Would you proceed?
I will. The point I was just making was that keep in mind that these are three relatively short Navy videos. They are exceptional insofar as we're seeing them. We're talking about them. They're making the New York Times, you know. So obviously they are unusual enough, or they're thought to be unusual enough to pay attention to and to take notice of. But keep in mind that they are selected, they must have been selected from thousands or tens of thousands of hours of similarly, you know, in many cases, mundane videos where, you know, just nobody happened to pay attention to it. And maybe there was something that wasn't cited and just no one noticed it. And so, you know, just keep in mind that we're seeing the most dramatic, presumably if these were leaked, then is there worse? Presumably the best they have, right? If there was something much more dramatic, then that would have leaked long ago. So I'm just not that impressed, unfortunately, with the quality of this evidence. Again, I'm not suggesting anybody is stupid or crazy or rough. They're just videos of objects that are most likely relatively mundane.
Okay. This brings up something that I hear time and time again, and it's unfallibility of perception and interpretation. Okay, while it's true that human perception and interpretation is fallible, there's also a flip side. And it seems that both are used to advance a particular agenda. Like when a military pilot, who we were just talking about, who's some of the people least likely to be prone to all these perceptual and interpretive problems, reports something extraordinary, we get the perspective that there are these highly fallible, average or below average people, and they're just making some kind of mistake. But if we say that, oh, well, you know, maybe the ancient people had some extraterrestrial help building the pyramids, all of a sudden, well, people are these really creative, industrious creatures that are very smart and capable of figuring out how to do it themselves. And so I constantly hear this sort of double standard going on where these psychological issues are used to bolster a particular agenda or opinion, especially with the skeptics.
Right. Well, I wouldn't agree that, and I certainly didn't say that the pilots had below average perceptual ability. I didn't say that at all. If anything, I said they had average or maybe slightly better than average. So that's, I never said or certainly didn't mean to suggest that pilots or anybody else had below average perceptual abilities or anything else. In fact, I would absolutely agree they probably have better than average. That's not the question. The question is, let's just say the average person makes a perceptual mistake, say 5% of the time, just off the top of it, 5%. So, you know, optical illusions, they see something, you're in the shower and you hear your phone ringing over the shower and it turns out it's an auditory illusion. There's a continual stream of illusions and misperceptions throughout the day. So let's just say that the average person makes a mistake 5% of the time. So let's say that a pilot, in this case, an Air Force pilot, Navy pilot, but let's say they have twice as good. So maybe they make a mistake. So say 3% of the time. So that means that out of every, just again, I'll just using round numbers here. That means that 3% of the time, again, given all, we're all agreeing, we're all stipulated they have better than average perceptions. 3% of the time, they will see something that they will mistake something unusual for something that's not unusual and vice versa. So given the number of hours that a pilot puts in, tens of thousands of hours, right? So, and they see tens of thousands of things. That just statistically, that means that in dozens or hundreds of cases, they will make mistakes. I would posit to you that these cases that rise to our attention are exactly those small percentages.
Okay, I can see where you're going with that. But then if we have to look at it from a percentage base, and we're looking at what you call of the time. Well, let's consider what time that is. So if we take a situation like the one David Fravor was in, and we're not talking about just an average person here or even above average. We're talking about the best of the best when it comes to pilots, because you don't get to fly those kind of aircraft and become the leader of those squadrons unless you are. So we've got, let's say, okay, if the sighting lasts 2 or 3 seconds, okay, out of all of the sightings and experiences where maybe it only lasted 2 or 3 seconds, then I can see how there would be an increase in the rate of error. But when you've got a situation where it's daylight, This pilot sees it clearly, has time to watch its movement, move his aircraft towards it, continue to watch it. We'd have a whole bunch of times that this is going on. That, you know, maybe in the first couple of seconds, a person might mistake a bird for something. But over the course of a number of seconds, and then into the time of the length of this sighting, the probability that he is having some sort of misperception goes down substantially. Then when it's backed by radar and other pilots, I don't think that you can make a reasonable case that it wasn't something extraordinary.
But no one's suggesting that the pilots mistook a plane for a bird. The question is, what is that object in the distance? That's the question. Because again, in these Navy videos, it is an object. It's literally a thing. They appear in instrumentation. They appear visually. It is something out there in the sky. So the question isn't a misperception in that he's mistaking Venus or the moon or a bird for an extraterrestrial craft. That's not the distinction here. The distinction here is there's some flying object in the sky that in at least one of these cases is probably going away from the pilot at a high rate, as they do.
In Fravor's case, it was coming toward him. He was trying to go down and pick up speed to catch it, and he was going in an arc. And according to the report, it then started to come up toward him and then went straight up past him.
Right. But so that doesn't appear in the video, though.
No. The videos, I mean, right. I agree with you about the videos. I mean,
if we keep going back to those,
we're not going to get anywhere because those, in my view, I have the same view of you. But I do think it's important to take into account the eyewitness experiences, the real-time experiences of people who are out there and encountered the object visually.
I absolutely agree with you. And again, I think where we're sticking here is that neither I nor anybody else, as far as I know, is suggesting that the pilots mistook this thing for a bird or for a sunlight reflected off the interior of the cockpit. What we're talking about here is something in the sky that literally was not identified. Again, this goes back. He doesn't know what it was. There's a difference between saying that, oh well, a pilot, you know, mistook a cloud for a UFO, which is not what I'm saying. I don't think that's being mailed.
Anyway, we're not going to mistake what's coming up. We've got more to come with Gene and Ben and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Atlanta's mayor has accepted the resignation of Police Chief Erica Shields just 24 hours after a black man was killed by an Atlanta officer following a field sobriety test. Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms says the police force needs to change its ways.
While we have a police force full of men and women who work alongside our communities with honor, respect, and dignity, there has been a disconnect with what our expectations are and should be as it relates to interactions with our officers and the communities in which they are entrusted to protect.
The shooting happened at a Wendy's restaurant. It was captured by security cameras and witness cell phones. This comes during international protests against the killing of another black man, George Floyd, in Minneapolis. This is USA Radio News. Brazil has become the indisputable center as the world's second highest nation with the number of deaths from COVID-19 at almost 42,000. USA's John Clemens reports.
Brazil's Ministry of Health reports the cumulative total of over 828,000 confirmed cases of coronavirus, with almost 26,000 new infections, with another 909 people losing their lives, second only to the United States. Dr. Mike Ryan of the World Health Organization says Brazil's healthcare system was standing up to the pressure.
The system, as such, from the data we see, is not overwhelmed, but certainly in certain parts of Brazil, there's a significant pressure on the intensive care unit bed occupancy, and again, we commend the brave frontline health workers.
For the USA Radio Network, I'm John Clemens.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm here with Scott Jusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
A fascinating, truly fascinating discussion about UFOs and what constitutes proof, the state of the evidence, the state of, I guess, our belief systems, too. By the way, Ben's going to stay with us for after the Paracast, which is available to subscribers to the Paracast Plus. For more information, check theparacast.plus. Don't you like it? They now have all these wacky domains you can add to your website, not just .com or .net, but .plus, .shop, .rocks. We have a domain, theparacast.rocks. Okay.
I'm impressed.
You were saying, sir, before we rudely broke up this.
I was commenting on your smooth transitions. You do that better than most people I know.
Well, hey, I think we've done a pretty good job of getting right into. Boy, did we ever dive into the nitty gritty right off the start? Okay, maybe one more area. Conceptual area here. One of the things that you talk about when you do your lectures and that you're known for, or at least to be an advocate of, is critical thinking. And we've heard people with a variety of views, skeptical or otherwise, promote themselves as critical thinkers. Do you consider yourself to be a critical thinker? And if so, how do you define critical thinking?
Well, that's a great question. And of course, most people, whether they're critical thinkers or not, think of themselves as critical thinkers. there's a running joke among skeptical investigators when we see some of the TV ghost hunters. You know, well, we're skeptics. Are you now? Because I don't think that word means what you think it means. One thing to keep in mind about critical thinking is that it's a skill that can be learned. It's not something you're born with. It's like any other skill. Oftentimes, among us in the skeptical community, people lament the fact that so many people in the public just aren't good critical thinkers. And that's unfortunate for political reasons, economic reasons. There's lots of reasons why critical thinking is good. But I've always tried to remind people that, as I mentioned, critical thinking is a skill. It is something that can be learned. And so we shouldn't be surprised if the average person on the street is not a good critical thinker, because why would they be? The educational system doesn't do a good job of bringing up critical thinkers. There's no more reason to think that the average person walking down the street would be a good critical thinker than there would be to assume that they're an accountant or a violinist. Take your pick, because it's something that needs to be studied and nurtured. I would consider myself to be a good critical thinker insofar as, I've written books on critical thinking and I've studied logic and argumentation and logical fallacies and examining claims in terms of, if someone makes a claim in logic, there's what's called a warrant or an underlying premise that is often left out, for example, in political claims or paranormal claims and things like that. I wouldn't hold myself up as a paragon of critical thinking, but I certainly have studied and researched and done work on critical thinking, and also, part of my life's work, to not be too lofty about it, is to bring critical thinking to the masses, and particularly regarding so-called paranormal topics. When I criticize ghost hunters or Bigfoot believers or wherever anyone else, it's not because I think it's crazy or stupid or silly to investigate things, because I do the same. Instead, my main criticism of these investigators is they're not using good critical thinking skills. They're not bringing good science to it. That's what I find most frustrating, is these are fascinating topics. UFOs and ghosts and psychics and crop circles and chupacabras and all these weird, mysterious things in the universe. These are important to know. These shouldn't be dismissed out of hand. They shouldn't be rejected. They shouldn't be laughed at. They should be genuinely and openly and earnestly investigated. But in order to do that, you have to bring scientific processes to it. You have to separate out truth from fiction. You have to evaluate the different claims.
I think it's important here, though, to differentiate between the scientific method and critical thinking, because just being paranormal in the first place and having such a lack of evidence to deal with, especially material evidence, science, especially hard science, tends to require scientifically valid material evidence. And when that's not there, it's really easy to slide off into pseudoscience. But where science might fail in analyzing the paranormal, I think critical thinking can take over, because it doesn't necessarily require the scientifically valid material evidence. It does require really good reasons and clear thinking about the subject.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, critical thinking does sort of require hard scientific evidence. I mean, that's certainly true. I mean, for example, you can apply critical thinking to advertising claims. You can apply critical thinking to political claims. So they're two different things, although they are related. Critical thinking is just a process. It's a prism through which you can understand and evaluate claims. When you apply it to scientific questions, that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where my investigations come in. So if someone comes to me and they say, "I believe in miracles," my answer is, "That's interesting. That's cool. All right." Right. That's fine. And if someone comes to me and says, "I believe in miracles because there's a weeping statue of Mary in my backyard, and it's been weeping since yesterday, and there's tears of blood coming out of it," at that point, that's a falsifiable claim. That's a claim that I can actually investigate. So that's sort of where I get into it.
Right, yeah. So it goes beyond, and I think we'd probably both agree on this, it goes beyond what we might call mere common sense.
Sure.
There's our everyday common sense, and then there's this more disciplined process of actively conceptualizing, applying, analyzing, synthesizing, and evaluating information from observation, experience, reflection, reasoning, and so on. And we can certainly include scientific evidence in that process. But when there's a lack of scientific evidence, I think critical thinking can really help us get closer to what the situation could be, even if we can't be sure of the final answer.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Sure. I mean, you know, my position is that critical thinking, as I mentioned before, it's unfortunately not really taught in schools. It's sort of considered an afterthought. The idea is that, well, if we just, you know, get the kids, you know, learning about biology or geography or history of routes, that somehow critical thinking will come out of that. And that needs to be reversed. Critical thinking should be underlying, that should be the fundamentals. The critical thinking is the prism through which you understand botany and biology and history and things like that.
And even the skeptical view, I think we need to apply critical thinking to our views regardless of what they are. If there's a skeptical position, I think the skeptics need to be able to analyze their positions through the lens of critical thinking, the same as people who might be believers in something.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. I will say, however, that one of the characteristics of critical thinking is self-analysis and recognizing, for example, you know, I talked a bit earlier about psychology. In fact, one of the very first things I said about eyewitness testimony is that we all make mistakes, including me. I mean, I explicitly said I make perceptual and memory mistakes all the time. We all do. So part of being a good critical thinker is recognizing the flaws and error, the cognitive biases, for example, that we all have, and once you recognize them and identify them, you can begin to try and guard against them. But if you're not aware of them, or you dismiss them out of hand, you're not going to employ them and not going to recognize them and try to improve your own thinking.
And that's really important. But it takes us back to that flip side I was getting at earlier as well, where everything is relative. So while there is a fallibility of perception and interpretation with human beings, there's also the fact that we're really amazing at perceiving and interpreting things, especially intelligently. I don't know that we've created any machine or other device that can match our intelligence as human beings. And our perception until fairly recently was really, really good. There were no cameras that could do as well as the human eye.
More to come with Gene, Randall, and Ben. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool.
Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Randall, I interrupted you in your description about cameras.
Right. I was saying that there's no machine that is intelligent as human beings. Until recently, there weren't any cameras that could do any better, especially in dynamic range where we can discern things both in and outside of shadows and at night as well as we can do. And memory as well. There was nothing that could match us. I mean, we had stone tablets. But I mean, I'm a PC tech. You would not believe how many hard drives I've thrown away and had to fix because machine memory is faulty. So, I mean, when you start talking about what evidence is good enough, what are we comparing it to? We're actually pretty good at what we do. I can still remember the address I used to live in as a child here in Calgary.
No,
which was 60 years ago.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, you're exactly right. The human mind is an amazing, wonderful, beautiful, astonishing, fallible thing. And the same processes that make us so good at discriminating the things around us, right? We have our perceptual apparatus. And so, we go throughout our day and we don't even, so much of it is subconscious. We don't even notice it. We get up and we walk to the bathroom and brush our teeth. And just those few steps involve balance, they involve perception, they involve muscle coordination and turning on lights, and then you flip the light on and your retinas adjust. There's all these minute things, and it's an amazing, the human mind and body and brain, it's an amazing apparatus, and most of the time it works great, and it certainly works great enough for our purposes. But the flip side of that is that at times, of course, we misperceive things, and the human mind, we're a pattern-seeking animal. That's why we see faces in clouds. That's why we see we see random, that's one of the roots of, for example, gambler superstitions. They go to the casino, and they happen to have a lucky quarter in their pocket, and they said, wow, I just won $200. Maybe it has some connection to that. Now, of course, in reality, their lucky quarter in their pocket didn't make the machine go, but it's very, very common. That's part of our psychological makeup, and that's you could look at that as a bug. That's a common example of how we do misunderstand the world around us.
Oh, certainly. There is superstition and a lack of, well, like we were just talking before, of critical thinking. I think the world is maybe a lot more fun if we can set it aside sometimes. But when we do get into serious subjects, we need to take all of these things into consideration. And there are times I think that perhaps the skeptics are just as quick to jump to that fallibility of perception and interpretation as the believers are to jump to the explanation of it was something alien. You know, oh my God, aliens. There may be something in between, right? It may be the case that, okay, maybe something is really there. Maybe there is some phenomena we don't understand that leads people to believe that there's something like life after death. Maybe it's not just a mental projection or a hallucination that somebody, say, saw there a dead relative or a person they thought walked through a wall or something else. Maybe there really was something like that there, but we don't know the cause, and it's leading us to believe that therefore there's life after death, when really I can't see a logical reason why there should be.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think we're sort of getting back to epistemology and the nature of knowledge and certainty, right? And so this is why you just said, well, you know, maybe it's true that that there is some unknowable phenomena going on that makes people believe in life after death or ghosts or what have you. And the scientific response to that would be, you're right. That is maybe possible. You know, science does not operate on absolute certainties. Science operates on the best evidence and what's probable. And this is one of the common problems that I see, is mistaking the probable for the possible or even the plausible. You'll see people make your arguments, for example, I'll be discussing Bigfoot with a believer, and they'll say, can you explain, for example, why it is that we don't have any Bigfoot bones? And they say, well, it's because isn't it possible that as soon as the Bigfoot died, they go into another dimension and their bones disappear? And my answer is, well, that's possible. Anything is possible. That's not the question. The question in science isn't what's possible. The question is, what is probable? What does the evidence point out to be?
I think there needs to be a reasonableness, though, too. You know, I mean, we could go with the whole Russell's teapot thing. Yeah, sure. Okay. But when you get a number of things coming together, like going back to this whole Nimitz thing, okay, we have some images, we have some eyewitnesses, we have some technological recordings from radar. We have a number of things that all come together to say that something unusual did happen there. So that's a little bit more reason to think that something out of the ordinary, something extraordinary may have actually happened. I mean, we can't be sure of that, but at least it gives us more reason than saying, oh, well, you know, this is all explainable by aliens from Zeta Reticuli who came came out of another dimension or something like that.
Right. I mean, I guess I would just sort of inquire as to what you mean by unusual or you know, remarkable. I mean, unusual and remarkable things happen all the time. People are struck by lightning all the time. They're very rare. Conjoined twins. There's, I think, last I heard, I think, two or three living conjoined twins. They are incredibly rare. But nonetheless, they happen. There is a scientific basis for them. We know how they happen. They aren't a miracle. They're not mysterious or unexplained. And so I would agree with you that in many of these circumstances, what happened may have been unusual or remarkable, but unusual and remarkable things happen all the time. We're on a planet with, you know, billions of people on it. And just random chance is going to have weird things happen and weird coincidences and unusual things, such as, you know, something being struck by lightning, or, you know, there's every now and then on the internet you'll see some really bizarre yet true photograph of, like, you know, a frog catching a ride on a pelican's head, right? And it's not faked. I mean, there, you know, you can talk to the photographer and it's a real thing, and there's photographs before and after. So, but on the other hand, if you or I go out to a pond or a lake or anywhere else and we try to photograph a pelican, you know, with a frog on its head, we can't do it. It doesn't mean it violates the laws of nature. It just means that it's such an unusual thing. The photographer happened to be there at that time and was ready for it and took the photo. So we have photographic proof that this happened. There's no reason to think they're fake, but that doesn't make it supernatural.
Oh, yeah. Now we get into supernatural. Well, I mean, supernatural is almost by definition something that science can't deal with because science deals with nature and the principles of nature. If it's beyond science and beyond nature, then really there's, I mean, we'd have to assume that it is, first of all, then there's really no way that it can be scientifically proven. So I think we need to take another approach. You know, and that would be sort of like a, you know, the Scully approach from the X-Files. So that, yeah, okay, these things happen. We just don't know how they're happening. We're not saying they don't happen or that people aren't having genuine experiences or that even maybe something extraordinary is out there. We just don't have an explanation for it yet that we can account for in scientific terms.
Right, but I mean, to get back to what you said a second ago, you said, you know, we know these things are happening, we're just looking for an explanation. But the fact of the matter is that we don't know for sure these things are happening. Scientists and humanity collectively don't know for sure that Bigfoot exists. We don't know for sure that aliens are visiting us and so on.
Okay, that's really interesting because actually when we get into the science of everything, science doesn't know if anything exists. So what we need to do is have a reasonable threshold by which we can say, yeah, I think it's reasonable to believe that these things exist because we can make a really good case that everything is just purely subjective and that we live in a world of subjective idealism. We're brains in a vat and there's no way that we can prove otherwise. So what we need is something more reasonable than that. So we can't just defer to this idea that, well, because we can't know it's real, therefore it's reasonable to think that it doesn't exist when tens of thousands of people have had these experiences, at least in my mind.
No, I agree with you, but I'm just that's, with all due respect, that's a bit different than what you just said a minute ago, which is we know for sure. That's the phrase they use, and I'm just saying that we don't know anything for sure.
We can't doubt this at all, these facts, and then we will get on to what people may have seen. Ben Radford, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.